It's Young Gelt Militia. He's got a big collar on and a nice suit from NBA Radio and HoopsCritic.com. Brian Geltzeiler. What up, Young Gelt?
What up, dude? Listen, I just turned 50 years old. I love coming on with you. You're the only person on the planet that still calls me young.
I'm telling you, brother. Hey, listen, so give me your first reaction today when you heard I was sitting in a hot tub naked in Las Vegas, and I got the news that Porzingis, Zinger, got traded to Dallas. What was your – when and what was your reaction when you first heard?
First of all, I wasn't naked in a hot tub, and it sounds like you were doing something a lot more interesting, a lot more fun than I was doing. It took time for the details of this deal to flesh out. Because when you first saw it, it was, the reports went from, and I have known for a while, Porzingis was not happy with anything going on with the Knicks. Listen, he thinks that Dave Fizdale is full of crap. You know, Dave Fizdale went and saw him in Latvia and all that, and he really didn't hear from him after that. And KP was totally turned off with Fizdale. And so I knew that he wasn't happy. So when we saw those reports today, I was not totally shocked. I was a little surprised the Knicks jumped to try to shop him as quickly. And then, listen, once they saw the soft him and you get this kind of deal, I understand why they did it. And again, as the first reaction I had was one of skepticism. And then as I saw all the details leak out, especially when you saw the first-round draft picks attached, then I looked at it and felt like, you know what, here's the thing about the Knicks. And I heard you guys talking before I came on. You know, you have to understand a few things. A, somebody's feeding them information that Kevin Durant's interested. Whether he is or he isn't, that's intel that's being told to them. That's intel that's been told to me, and I've heard it from some people that certainly you would consider in the know about this kind of stuff. So that, where there's smoke, there's fire there. And remember one thing about Kyrie Irving, a couple things about Kyrie Irving here regarding this. And that's, you know, first of all, for him to stay with Boston, it's going to be 5 years and $190 million. Boston has got some salary issues right now. They're paying Al Horford $28 million for this year and one more. They're paying Gordon Hayward $28 million for this year and two more. And I don't know if there's an ownership group that's going to go into the luxury tax really deep, like Joe Lacob's doing in Golden State, like Clay Bennett's doing in Oklahoma City. I don't know that this ownership group is willing to do that. And yet Kyrie Irving's all in on staying, but he's all in on getting $190 million also. He grew up in West Orange, New Jersey. Happens to be my hometown. And playing in the Garden has always been a dream of his. Now, again, does he want to run there necessarily? No, he's got options. You mentioned LeBron in L.A. It's certainly an option for him. But here's the point about what the Knicks did. What the Knicks essentially did is took two of the most toxic contracts in the league, in the Tim Hardaway deal, which was a disaster from the day it was signed, and the Courtney Lee deal, which was something they butchered that situation. Guy shoots 40% from three. They wouldn't play him to even showcase him. The fact that they were able to get those guys off their books, okay, the fact that they were able to get two first-round draft picks, including an unprotected pick and a good young player for a guy who, listen, has all the talent in the world and all the ability in the world, Porzingis. He also hasn't played in a year. He also told them, and I know this for a fact, that he was planning on signing the qualifying offer and being an unrestricted free agent in 2020. So he let the Knicks know he had no interest in being there long term. And the Knicks pulled the Band-Aid off quick. It checked all the boxes. Listen, they may not be successful in free agency this summer, but let me ask you this, Pharrell. Is there anything wrong a team in a rebuild in being financially lean, having some good young players, and having extra draft picks? No matter how you want to slice and dice this for the New York Knicks, and I'm the first one to want to bag on the Knicks, no matter how you want to slice and dice this deal for them, they put themselves, even if they don't get free agents, they're still in a better position than they were when the day started because they got extra picks, a good young player, and these bad contracts are off their books.
I'll give you that they got all the money off the books, and who's their good young players?
Well, no, when I say good young, first of all, Knox has shown himself to be a guy that, I don't know that Knox is going to be a great player, but he's shown himself that he'll be a good NBA player. He's only 19 years old, and I think he's done a decent job. Consistency night in and night out has been a challenge for him, and bringing it in the way NBA guys have to bring it, but he's young. I think Dennis Smith Jr.'s got a lot of ability, and I think, you know, it got to be a tough situation with him in Dallas when Doncic had the ball in his hands a lot more. I think he'll be okay. Beyond that, we got to see. We have to see what else is there. You know, I mean, I don't know about Mitchell Robinson. Trier's been a little bit of a find. It hasn't been wonderful, but they're going to get a top five, top six pick this year at the very least to be able to add to this group. And that's kind of the point. You know what? They broke this thing down to the studs today and still left themselves the option that if by some miracle, by the grace of God, guys like Durant and Kyrie want to come there, well, they're prepared to receive them. And if they don't, they've done some meaningful things regarding the rebuild that give them the maximum level of options. Listen, this front office isn't exactly reinventing the wheel here, but this was a situation where, you know, Porzingis, this is the second regime that Porzingis has weighed on in a big way, wanting to make demands about who he wanted and what he wanted. And they didn't feel like being dictated to by a guy that hadn't played in a year. Do you blame him for that?
Not really. There's certain risks involved with him. I will say I think he's a great shot blocker, and he can definitely shoot the ball, but not always. And I think that I think it's worth looking into, and they looked into it and did it. I think that he was there was some concern about his game. I've always felt he was kind of a twig. I never thought he was a badass. I thought he was a skinny, scaredy cat, big. He didn't want any contact. He didn't want any low block stuff. He could block shots easily when you're that big, but I never thought he was a grown man move type of player. I thought he needed space to do his ply his trade, and he kind of, I like physical big men that get it on, and he's not one of them. Let me ask you this.
For 7'3" and told them he didn't want to play to five.
Let me ask you this. Right. Fair enough. I need to get your reaction really quick to the AD situation, because I need to know what you think's going to happen. Is it going to be Boston in the summer is what a lot of people are leaning on? And that is it true that Demps doesn't want any part of the Lakers?
Yes. Yes and yes. He's Boston's to lose right now. Demps not going to trade him before the deadline. And this has become what's happened to the Lakers here. Is all these behind the scenes machinations that really aren't all that behind the scenes, you know, when you get fined $50,000, but all these machinations are being resented around the league. Listen, Greg Popovich would have rather had a truck drive over him than trade Kawhi Leonard to the Lakers. And Dell Demps, I mean, he started taking the phone calls because I guess he's got to do his due diligence, but the Lakers don't necessarily even have the best package. And as much as AD is going to sit here and tell them, listen, I'm not going, you know, if you trade for me, I'm still going to L.A. when I'm a free agent in 2020. That's fine, but Danny Ainge is not going to repeat the Paul George mistake. Danny Ainge came up short in a Paul George offer to Indiana because he was convinced, like the rest of the world, that he was going to the Los Angeles Lakers. But Danny Ainge didn't have enough confidence in his program at that point to have a one-year exclusive recruiting window with Paul George to keep him on board. And everybody forgets that because Kyrie Irving's availability bailed Ainge out on this. Ainge is not making the same mistake twice. If he has an opportunity to get Anthony Davis, he's not going to listen to this L.A. nonsense. He's going to go. He's going to make the deal. If he has to, we'll put Tatum in it. He's going to make the deal. He's going to bring him in, and he's going to get him to re-sign. That's what he's going to do. I would be shocked if Davis ends up anywhere but with the Boston Celtics.
All right, Young Gelt, killer stuff. Brian Geltzeiler, NBA Radio and HoopsCritic.com. I love you, Young Gelt. Thanks for coming on the bench with us from Vegas.
Right back at you, Terrell. Enjoy that. Talk to you soon.
My man, Young Gelt Militia, Brian Geltzeiler of NBA Radio.